the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the grand final edition. Kerr's Hire style has a nice ring to it, doesn't it, Kingy?
Kerr's Hire style or grand final edition?
Or both. Grand final edition, and grand the cats edition. And the cats are involved in said grand final.
Yes, fantastic.
Yes,
great. People have been asking me about, you know, what do you think for Saturday, and I said I don't give it much thought on a Monday. I don't start thinking about the game, and considering we've got such a busy week here at K-Rock, and we're doing AFLW Thursday night. We're doing the Geelong League Grand Final on Friday, of which I'm on the broadcast of both. I probably won't start thinking about the AFL Grand Final until about now. Yeah.
Probably. You need to think about it for the next 45 minutes.
I'll think about it for the next 45 minutes, but probably not until 7:30 on Friday night when I sit down and I don't know what'll be on. Will there be a rugby league? There'll be some bum sniffers on. There'll be a rugby league prelim, and that's when I'll do my.
The Storm will be playing, I think, aren't they?
Are they Friday night?
I think so because Penrith played yesterday, so they'd have to play Saturday, yeah. Surely.
I used to love my rugby league. Like, yeah, I dropped off, followed it religiously, but just so consumed now by, you know, especially when the Cats are going this deep. Mm. I can't wait. Look, I can't wait for Saturday, but I haven't given too much thought to the game other than they're playing the Brisbane Lions and Geelong have to make one change.
Yes. I've given it some thought, Kenny.
Which is good.
Yeah. Is that a good thing?
Because you've had all weekend to think about it.
Well, Penny. I have, Kenny. I have had some time and I watched the Collingwood-Brisbane game. Did I not say Brisbane would beat Collingwood?
You did.
Did I not say when we started this final series that the grand final would be Geelong and Brisbane?
You did. But I might have also said, without sort of patting myself on my back, breaking my arm at the same time to do it, that the winner of the Geelong-Brisbane qualifying final would win the flag.
Yes. And I just had this feeling and
the Brisbane would come back the other way.
Well, whoever lost that game
would
come back and get through to the grand final, which I should have maybe invested some Bugs Bunny on that, Kingy, but I didn't, unfortunately. But look, I've spoken to Cat fans are up and about. If you're not going to be up and about now, you're never going to be up and about.
I reckon Town's a little bit more up and about than 2022.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I reckon we were still in that little post-COVID malaise. Whereas we were still going, gee, they could do anything to us at any time.
Yeah.
Whereas now we're, you know, it's a bit freer in what we're doing, and it just seems to be
Deborah Harry sort of free.
Yes. You've brought her up 2 weeks in a row.
I love Deborah Harry.
Were you a Deborah Harry fan, were you?
Well, I'm red-blooded.
Did you like Blondie?
I'm red-blooded.
You are. What? You are.
It's the first time I'd sort of noticed.
Right. Yes. Right. First twinge?
Yeah, it was more than a twinge, Kingy.
You are an idiot. Can we talk footy?
It's like a...
No.
Anyway, so what I was going to say, Kingy, about the footy, other than Blondie, and God bless her, she used to be up on my wall for quite some time, Kingy, and anyway, it was great.
Yes.
Those days are long gone. Yeah, she's on the roof. Because I can't crink the neck that far, so I just lie there and then... Anyway, so what I was going to say about the Cats is, and I'm, you know, that I'm glass half empty sort of person.
Oh, no.
Yes. But I think, this is just my take, is that the Cats would be bitterly disappointed if they... Now, I'm not saying Brisbane wouldn't be, but Geelong would be close to devastated if they lose.
Yep.
The position that they've played themselves into, we said this going into the prelim against the Hawks, that it was there for them, and they were good enough to take it. 2 weeks ago, they were good enough to really thump the Lions. They conceded 11 goals. It should have been 9. I think that they go into this game expecting to win. Now, I know Brisbane will say the same thing, and some of their fans will say the same thing. I have a sneaking suspicion off the back of what happened in the qualifying final that Brisbane would be hoping to win.
With Geelong expecting to win.
Yes.
Yep.
With Stewart out, that hurts, but that's more than offset by the injuries at the Lions. They'll be without, we've spoken about this, they'll be out without Payne, Answorth, Coleman, Hipwood.
Our man Link. although he hasn't played much hasn't footy played lately.
Yeah, they've got a huge question mark over Lachie Neale and a huge question mark over Jared Berry. Yeah. So Jared Berry will be one tackle away from being out of the grand final.
Yep.
He'll play, I'd say.
Yeah, he will.
But if he, if, I mean, we saw the tackle on Saturday night. He just caught the guy in the wrong spot and was gone. Lachie Neale, I'm tipping all the jungle drums are that he will play. I'm expecting him to play. You know, is that a risk? Yep. Is he good enough to risk? Yes. He had 30-odd possessions when he went off at about the 10-minute mark of the last quarter of that game when they played two or three weeks ago.
Yep.
And, look, he's a gun, but there's going to be question mark over that calf. I mean, that could go any time as well. Yeah. You wouldn't have thought he'd be – if this was home and away, let's put it this way, he wouldn't be playing.
Which is disappointing if he does come back, because that means Bruce Revel's probably going to miss
out. Yeah, and it's disappointing there's a Bruce won't be playing. Oh, yeah. Because how long since a Bruce played in a Bruce?
Well, okay, it depends if you want surname or first name.
Josh Bruce? No. Who?
Cam Bruce.
Cam Bruce.
Yeah. And then first name? Did the Prez play in 89?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
He'd be the last first name.
You reckon the last Bruce?
Yep.
Right.
Can't think of anybody else.
The Prez with the lace-up jumper.
Yes.
And the liniment. And
he could roost a footy too, the Prez.
He could play the Prez. He was a bit dumb. And he wasn't the most.
And the nickname was? Self-appointed.
Yeah, which is always nice. Like very that. Nice to self-appoint yourself, especially in, like the Prez. It's like he hasn't sort of just given himself like the, you know, the treasurer.
The secretary.
Yeah, he's gone straight to the top.
The junior vice, the junior vice president.
Yes, he's gone straight to the top. But so it's obviously with the game, Kingy, you know, the matchups are going to be critical. I find it difficult to believe that Geelong won't just wheel out Mullen going to McCluggage again. And obviously O'Connor going to Rayner.
What did you describe him as at the moment, Benny, in the interview?
Who's that?
O'Sheen Mullen. More tags than the department store.
He did, yeah. He has had more tags. This year he has. He's been like the resident tagger. So I don't know. Do you think he found that amusing?
He did. No, have you seen the video back?
No.
Yeah. So he was being filmed by our social media guru, right. Chappie, and he was giggling.
He loves it. Oh, well, that's good. We got a giggle out of him, Kenny. Yeah. So I think it's on my take on this, and I don't know what your take is. My take would be that Brisbane are the ones that are going to have to adjust. I think that O'Connor goes to Rayner, that worked, and Mullen goes to McCluggage. Now, the thing about McCluggage is that I reckon he had 37 against the Pies.
He did.
They just refused to anything.
10 clearances.
Yeah.
14 contested.
He's a genuine midfielder. I don't think he can really play anywhere else other than midfield.
Yep.
Now, he probably could go to halfback for a little bit. I don't think he's a sort of a forward-type player.
He's not.
They've already got Bailey, Rayner. They're the two sort of blokes that will do the Manor-type role of playing predominantly forward but will drift into the midfield at times. So it'll be up to Brisbane to fashion something that Mullen will – I think Mullen will shut down McCluggage.
Yep.
Now, do they put him to halfback? If they put him to halfback, Mullen probably just follows him to halfback.
Yep.
That's fine. And because I don't think he's going to stay there for any extended period of time. O'Connor goes to Rayner. So that leaves Neale, Berry. Dunkley injured himself in that game against Collingwood. Hurt his calf, I reckon. He came back on.
He was in a moon boot.
Was he?
Yeah, I think it might be ankle related.
Right.
Yep.
So he's not going to be at I thought it was calf, they said on the coverage. Maybe they were getting that wrong. So those two matchups, I reckon, are a lock again. Now, will Mullen keep McCluggage to four kicks? Perhaps not.
No.
Will he get 37?
No.
No. Rayner is a different kettle of fish. Rayner is a streaky player. And
we only had 10 possessions, but he kicked 2-2 from that against Collingwood.
Yes, and he kicked him at a couple of crucial times. He's a match winner, Rayner. You can't take your eyes off him for 5 minutes because he can be missing for 44 minutes.
Yep.
And then by the 48th minute, he's kicked two goals and changed the game. So that's a good matchup for Geelong. Geelong, they could not have timed their run any better.
No.
They've got an injury-free list bar Stewart. They've got players in form. The players that were, you know, finding their feet, for want of a better phrase, someone like De Koning. I thought he was really good against Hawthorn. Playing a little bit of ruck, a little bit down back, seems to be playing with a little bit more aggression. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's one that was finding form off the back of that shoulder.
Yeah.
Suddenly, his two finals have been really good. The only one who's struggling, and he's competing's been great, but Neil?
Yep.
Shannon Neil hasn't got a lot of the footy. His competing's been good. He's got to keep doing that. He's going to have a massive job on Andrews.
And the good thing with Shannon Neil is, too, I don't think he's a bloke who gets down on himself. Like, I think he's pretty positive. Like, he can keep himself in the game mentally by not getting down on himself. He goes, all right, well, it didn't work this time, but I will go again.
Yep.
And he'll just keep flying and flying and flying, and he'll keep creating something for Stengel, Manor, Close, Myers to clean up, which is going to be so important on Saturday. If he's still – the thing is, an aerobic beast, as we know. So he will keep competing until the end, and it might take until the 20-minute mark of the last quarter to break Brisbane, but it'll be because Shannon Neil has flown at a footy, and he may not have marked it, but he stopped Harris Andrews from taking a mark.
Yep.
Ball's hit the deck, and there's somebody there to sweep it away, and they kick a goal.
Well, Harris Andrews has dominated him twice this year. I mean, had Harris Andrews not been playing two weeks ago, they'd probably lose by a lot more than they did. He was one of their best players. He was enormous against Collingwood. And there was vision of him. I know Collingwood tried Mason Cox on Andrews. And there's down the ground. Did you see the game?
Only bits.
There was down the ground vision of Harris Andrews paying absolutely no respect to Mason Cox.
He was
literally like 30 metres away from him.
He's got to respect Neil.
Well, he does, but it just depends where Neil goes to. Harris Andrews is so switched on and savvy with his play reading. He's got a great handle on when he does maybe need to go with his player or when he can zone off, and that's what makes him so important. And he's playing with huge confidence. He's marking everything that comes his way. So it's going to be a big role. It'll be really interesting to see what Shannon Neil has learnt from the two meetings this year and whether I'm not suggesting that Shannon Neil is going to come out and, you know, take 12 marks and kick 5 goals. I mean, that'd be fantastic. All I'm just wondering is what sort of impact can he have in negating Harris Andrews? Now, that may mean that Shannon Neil doesn't touch the ball, but if Harris Andrews is not getting in the way constantly, that's a win for the Cats because they don't have much else. You're relying on Lester, who had to be moved off Cameron after the first couple of minutes of the game 3 weeks ago. Do they go back to that Brisbane?
Oh, that
I might keep him up, Kim.
Yeah, it's been a big day. Sorry, Benny.
It's Vicky's job, isn't
it? Ben, behave. Yeah. I think Gardner might go first to Cameron.
Well, they went with that the second time around. It worked.
Yeah.
So they go to Gardner. So Lester then, who does Lester go to?
Lester probably, maybe to Manor.
Oh, geez, Manor would have. Looks too nippy for Lester, wouldn't
he? Yeah, but where else is he going?
No, well, that's what I mean. He becomes a bit of the odd man out, Lester, because unless he's actually doing that role on Cameron, which he did successfully in the game down here, but not the game up there. Where does he play?
Yeah,
well, Stasevich goes to Stengel.
Yeah, and Stengel said that today, that he expects that will be the matchup.
Yeah, and he's a good player, Stasevich. I reckon he beat Stengel pretty easy. Stengel didn't have a great game when they played in the qualifying, did he?
No.
From memory. Have you got the stats?
I can bring those up, Benny.
I mean, he wasn't horrendous, but he didn't have the influence that you sometimes expect. And Stasevich just has an ability to do that. He is an elite mid-sized defender who's able to play on smaller players.
12 disposals. Took 7 marks.
Did he kick a goal?
No, he kicked it behind. Took 7 marks.
Yeah. Geez, he's strong, Stengel. There was a couple of passages of play in that game. I watched a bit of the replay against Hawthorn, and he's stronger than you give him credit for, particularly the marking contest.
Yeah.
Some of his and there was a couple of passages. There was one in particular which ended up in the Dangerfield kick around the corner to Martin. Who kicked the goal.
Yep.
Stengel's hands in that were amazing. He clean hands in a difficult ground level ball, and he got a handball out, and then Manor, I think, handballed it on to into the path of Dangerfield. But the Stengel pick up under pressure and the clean hands was absolutely elite. That's when you know players have got real confidence when they're doing that.
Yep.
And we saw convert. I mean, and the stark contrast to that, Kingy, was Hawthorn sub CJ.
Yeah.
He fumbled his way through that game the whole time. Anything he got near, fumbled it.
As opposed to Geelong's sub being pretty impressive.
He was.
Jai Clark.
Yeah, look, and credit to him. I mean, he's had an up-and-down year. Cat fans have come for him. He's been out of the team for large parts. When he's played, he's looked average at best.
I had a chat to him this morning, one-on-one, for the media that they do. And I asked him about that, the external and the internal, and he said internally, he goes, he's aware that obviously Cat fans are going, oh, you know, he's a top 10 pick and 3 years in and he's played 25 games. What's going on? And he said, internally, I'm fine. I'm tracking the way I should.
They're happy.
Yeah.
So did you ask him what he feels like the areas of a game that he thinks he's got to work on to become a cemented player in the top 22?
Didn't get down to that nitty gritty. It was more grand final and his year related, what I spoke
and
to
what
him
did
about.
He think of his year?
Well, he's had two concussions,
yeah,
a bout of COVID, and he's just timed his run. Yeah. He's spent a bit of time behind the footy in the VFL.
Which helped him because he did that on Friday night.
Correct. So, there's some positives out of that performance. I don't think he's going out of the side. I think they're making a change. And
do you think Stanley comes in?
I think it's Stanley because of the fact that Brisbane will go with Fort and McInerney.
Yeah.
And I think you can't go with Blitzarves with support from De Koning if you're going up against Fort and McInerney.
Yeah, and
I think it's got to be Stanley with support from Blitzarves.
McInerney has been going forward.
Yep.
And now he's not the prettiest player, but he's effective and he's a big unit.
Well, that means
we're going to need De Koning or probably De Koning to play on McInerney.
Yeah. And if not, he goes to Gallup, is Gallup going to
Gallup?
Is Gallup going to catch lightning twice?
I wouldn't have thought. I mean, this is where you... I mean, who knows what might happen, but if I'm a Lions supporter, I'm thinking to myself, we are relying on a 20-year-old,
yep,
Logan Morris, who's had an unbelievable year, don't get me wrong, but he's 20 in his second year of footy and a six-gamer in Ty Gallup to hold down key position in a grand final.
And then a 51 or 52-gamer in Kai Lohman to be a... You're next.
And you've got McInerney playing predominantly up forward, who doesn't predominantly play up forward.
No.
So if I'm a Lions player, I'm thinking, geez, I'm face value, I don't have real confidence in that. Geelong have some good options. Stewart out hurts. But the other thing, Quingy, what are your thoughts or what are you hearing about the severity of the injury to Jack Henry?
No, he trained today.
He trained?
Yep.
And look, moved okay.
Yeah, I didn't see him move, but I've seen him.
You didn't see him move. He was actually in a Zimmer frame.
He was actually on a golf cart. Pretty sure I saw him in photos out on the ground.
Just walking.
No. I think he was in a running group.
I'll have a look, Kingy, because that would be extraordinary. Because they must have drizzled Lewis water on that foot, ankle, whatever it was, jarred knee.
Yeah, they're expecting him and
what do you think happened in the bowels of the MCG? I thought he was coming off for an amputation. And the next thing you know, he's on the boundary line ready to come back on. He looked in so much trouble that you thought there is no way known this guy will be able to come back on. He couldn't actually put any weight on that foot at all.
Yeah, it was quite incredible that he did return.
Do you think Geelong have got some sort of hyperbaric chamber down there that they just pop someone in for a second and then they just come back out? Because it was the greatest comeback since. Something that made an extraordinary comeback. Lazarus. Didn't he make a big comeback?
He did.
How did he come back from?
Yeah, there we go.
He had COVID.
Yep, there we go. I've just found the photo. Our great mate Marcel today.
Yeah.
Jack Henry running laps.
Well, that is unbelievable. Yep. So that is a really good sign then.
Yep.
Because do you think he looked hampered or do you think Jack Gunson's just an absolute gun?
He looked hampered. He
looked what?
Hampered. Sorry. Hampered. I don't know.
He played for India, did he? He was a spinner. Bishan Hampered.
He looked hampered.
He did, and Gunston is a very good player.
Yeah. Well, like Gunston is nimble enough, but he's not that nimble.
He made Jack Henry look silly a couple of times.
Yeah.
And he made Zach Guthrie look silly once too.
Yep.
He's a gun. I just wondered. So that was my concern. If he's running today, that is such a good sign.
Yeah, he'll be playing.
That wouldn't be doing anything with him if they thought there was.
There's no doubt.
I'm not suggesting he wasn't going to play. I always knew he was going to play.
Yep.
But how hampered is he? Because he's the one that I reckon shut down Logan Morris in the qualifying final
yep.
completely. What did Logan Morris kick? One goal? in that game?
Qualifying final.
I reckon he kicked one goal.
Yeah, please hold. Well, they didn't kick a great amount of
goals. No, they kicked 11, and two of them were gifts. So they kicked 9 under their own steam.
Yeah.
So what did Logan Morris do in that game?
Logan Morris kicked 1 from 6 disposals. Charlie Cameron kicked 1 from 2 disposals.
Yeah.
So Clyde Lohmann kicked 2 from 11 disposals. Like, so Lohmann's not a high possession
Stewart
player.
Stewart played on Lohmann. That's going to be something they're going to have to...
Is that Zach Guthrie?
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I just wonder, do you think there's any chance Jed Bewes plays?
No, not now.
So you just think it's Stanley for Stewart?
Stewart, yeah.
So if I'm thinking then that Jack Henry goes to Logan Morris again.
Yep.
Let's hope Jack Henry's going at 90% at least. So that's a lock. I'm trying to think who we had on Cameron. Was it Zach Guthrie?
I think it might have been early.
So O'Connor goes to Rayner.
Yep.
If McInerney's up there for any period of time, you would have to thought at 203 DeConing. Has a crack there.
Yep.
You've got Ty Gallup. Would you be happy to send Connor O'Sullivan to Ty Gallup?
Yep. Well, yeah. Well,
similar type more, players, well, second-year players.
More experienced O'Sullivan,
so
really.
So there's 4 matchups.
Yep.
We're looking at... so then, who are...
Callum Archie's the other one.
Yes, he's dangerous too. Remember he kicked...
Yeah, he kicked 3 or 4 in the... kicked 3 or 4 in the prelim.
Kicked 4 in the prelim last year. Who goes to Archie? So, I mean, the other one, the one player just talking about the Cats defence, who's perhaps been off this year is Lawson Humphreys.
Yeah. Does Humphreys go to? I don't think he goes to Archie because I reckon. Although
Humphreys, he's going to have to.
Humphreys is good overhead.
He's going to have to go to one of those sort of players, whether it's Lohmann or Archie, or you can't hide everyone.
So
how do you?
So where do you think Blitzarves plays?
Well, Blitzarves I think has to play in the midfield against Brisbane.
Hmm.
Because they're so deep in the midfield.
So does Bowes have to go back potentially? Or does Jai Clark play off halfback?
Possibly.
Although it depends. He may still be the sub.
Bowes or Clark will be the sub.
Yep.
I'd say. Not probably
Martin.
Clark.
Not Martin? Jack Martin could
They like Martin. I think they think Martin can kick them a goal.
But do you maybe keep him for when you do need something?
Yeah, I could see that. Well, okay, it'd have to be one of...
It's Martin, Bowes or Clark.
My money will be on Clark again.
Yep.
I think Bowes has got more runs on the board this year. He can play a few roles. He can go into the midfield. He could go cross half-back. He can even slide forward and kick you a goal every now and then, Jack Bowes. So I think he starts. Martin, I don't know. That's an interesting one. Clark or Martin on the pine. As the sub to start the game, it's interesting. I think, what do we do with like rebounding? Stewart played really well against. How many possessions did he have against Brisbane in the qualifying? I reckon he had. I mean, some of them are kickouts, so they're not all
22.
Yeah, okay.
Six rebound 50s.
See, yeah, he played well. So we're going to have to fashion a bit of run from the back half.
Well, Zach
now, Humphreys isn't providing it. That's one of the problems.
Is that where Myers gets back to?
Well, hopefully Dempsey and Myers can get back and provide that. But you also want them forward to centre. They can't kick it themselves.
No.
So,
but there's guys forward to centre. Manor and Close and guys. Closest final series has actually been
good.
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
Because he was not in great nick final month of the home and away.
No, he's been really solid. That's my point. Most of them are in form. Humphreys is not. Neil's had quite 2 finals, but that's okay. He's young. He's developing. Yep. But they're the only 2 I can think of right off the top of my head who are just going for the Cats.
Martin's not flying.
No.
He didn't touch the footy at all.
No, he struggled a bit. He struggled a bit.
But outside of that, like Connor O'Sullivan's looked like a 150-game player at times.
He's a star. He's an absolute star. You spoke to him today too, did you?
Yeah, he'll captain the club.
Yeah, I've got no doubt. He could be a Joel Selwood-type captain at 23, 24.
Yep. Speaks well.
Yeah, we've had him on K-Rock a couple of times after games, and he does speak very, very well. What, has he just turned 20?
Yes.
Yeah. No, they've got one there, the Cats. I'll hats off to them. Sometimes it can be difficult to pluck those 198, 199 centimetre players, and they've absolutely plucked one there. De Koning is another one, obviously, that they plucked. What was De Koning taken in his draft? Was he in the 20s as well?
I think so.
22 or 23 or somewhere around there.
Let me just Let me just double
check. Who do you think that Dunkley might tag?
Dunkley would probably... Dunkley to Smith?
Possibly. Don't know if he's got the wheels to go.
He was pick 19, DeCone.
Pick 19.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Cats should ride the Patrick Dangerfield wave and play more in the midfield?
Absolutely. Knowing that it's the last game of the year, just go hell for leather.
Yeah.
He's game.
Does, if he's playing more in the midfield, does that mean Martin starts on the ground?
Probably. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's yep. I think you'll see Patrick Dangerfield at more centre bounces than you've seen all year this on
Friday. There's been a lot of sort of hoo-ha about his game, hasn't there?
It was a good game of footy.
Oh, it was an absolute crack of it. There's been real twinge in the Murray Rants from some people.
Some
it's gone a bit over the top.
Yeah. There was a bloke called Gary Ablett Sr. in 1989 who played four consecutive finals like that.
He kicked nine in a granny, that man.
Kicked 27 in a final series.
Yeah.
Quite incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but Gary was different. I mean, no disrespect to Dangerfield. He's a great player, but he's not carrying Gary's bags, in fairness. If you want an entertainment package, then crikey, the great man. The great man. He'd do that shit that Dangerfield, we get Lord Dangerfield for. He'd do that every 15 minutes.
Yeah. And we wouldn't bat
and
an
he
eye.
Wouldn't, and he wouldn't even celebrate. He didn't know anyone's name. He wouldn't celebrate. He couldn't wait. He didn't want to waste any of his energy celebrating. He just, get it down to me. Get it down to me.
We wouldn't bat an eyelid.
No, no.
Would you like some
Do you think, one other one, Kingy?
Yeah, before we have questions.
Do you think that Geelong, with Stewart out, and I know he played there a little bit against Hawthorn, but would run Max Holmes more off halfback?
Yeah, that's a very big option, I would have thought.
Do you think that Geelong, on paper, and this might sound strange because Brisbane are about to compete in their third straight grand final, do you think Cats have, with Brisbane's injuries, do you think the Cats have more flexibility within their team?
More, yes. They're a more versatile team.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they can pull more levers.
I agree, because I think that they have genuine midfielders who can't really play anywhere else.
No.
Dunkley, McCluggage.
The two Ashcrofts.
They're not huge goal kickers.
Jasper Fletcher.
Well, he's the one that can play a little bit of back.
Yep.
Or he does a little few run with roles.
Bit of hybrid.
Would he look to tag a Smith?
Yeah, potentially.
But I think players
play,
like...
Will Fletcher play out on a wing, though? Will he maybe have to go with Dempsey?
Possibly. I mean, Dempsey had his best game of the year against them three weeks ago. He's not going to... Well, I hope he does, but he's probably unlikely to replicate that. He was okay against Hawthorn without setting the world on fire.
Still does his job.
Yeah, he's handy.
Do you know what Ollie Dempsey doesn't do? He doesn't have shies in games.
No, he's had a couple this year.
But they're not
horrendous.
You don't walk away going, oh, geez.
They're not witness protection, are they?
No, he'll still find a way to create something or run to the right. Like, he's running is just...
elite.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Geelong have got... The running power that Geelong have been able to assemble is quite...
The other thing off the back of that, what they do is score the Cats.
Yep.
It puts pressure on the opposition because they score. And we saw that against... I texted a mate who backs of Brisbane. I said, you're going to need to kick 100 points plus to beat the Cats.
Geelong want to shoot out.
And he goes, oh, the last 2 weeks we've kicked 100 points. They only need one more point. I said, that's against absolute C graders. Against Cats 3 weeks ago, you should have only kicked 9 goals.
Yeah, and you kicked 11 and two.
And you still got beat by 5 goals.
Yeah. Questions?
Oh, I love questions, King.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, great call once again. What a game on Friday night. Boys, is it as simple as Reece in, Blitzarve's back and Buse in? Sucks about Stewart, but shit happens in footy. Boys, going to be a ripper. Need to bring our game, our A game, and just play four quarters, bring the heat. I think it's just Stanley for Stewart.
I guarantee you that the Buse thing will get talked about.
Yeah.
I don't. And look, let's put it this way. As a Geelong supporter, if they pulled the trigger on Buse, I'm not thinking, oh, no.
No.
So that's a good thing. Sometimes the Cats in the past have pulled the trigger on moves and you're thinking, what's happened there? But if Buse came in, I'm with you, I don't think he will, but if he did, I'm actually happy for that.
Jimmy the Cat, Kingy and Cass, obvious one. Can we win, and how do we reshuffle the back line with Stewart out? Also like to mention Shannon Neal's aerobic capacity runs 15 to 16 kilometres a game.
Yes.
And will there be one more podcast after the side is named? I'll answer that. No, there won't.
No, I'll be fizzing wildly on Thursday at the
St. Joseph's
lunch, and then I'll be watching the GF Joeys win the granny on Friday.
Just on that GFNL grand final, Joeys and St. Mary's, for local footy fans who listen to this podcast, that will be live on KROQ 95.
Yeah, that's a good result, Kingy. From 1 o'clock. That's a great result.
Yep. So
I'm really looking forward to that game.
Who
do you think will win that game?
Joeys.
You think that? No, but you don't just say that because I'm me.
No, no. Well, the minor premier have gone straight out of a second semi-final against a team who've had to win. They've had to win three cutthroat finals and what was basically an elimination final in round 18 to make it.
But do you think they got their tails up? That's been a recipe for going well in the JFL.
I think that I reckon they might run out of gas on Friday because it's 2 6-day turnarounds. They played Sunday last week into Saturday into Friday. That's a big ask.
All the time.
And there's a lot of kids in that team.
Well, I hope you're right.
Yep. We just talked about the backline reshuffle.
Yep.
Shannon Neal's aerobic capacity is
enormous. And we didn't realise that until Reg Tui jumped on board this year and said that not only is he super quick, did he finish second or win the grand final sprint, but he is aerobically very gifted. He's an athletic freak.
I want to know who Geelong sprinter will be this year.
Well, do you think George Stevens might get the call?
Probably not.
Bit sort of Thomas the Tank Engine style.
I reckon.
Remember, there's always one team that throws up just a funny bugger. North Melbourne threw one up a few years ago. It was absolutely horrendous. I remember thinking, Sean Higgins, who'd played with this player, I can't think who it was, but he was an absolute plotter.
Yeah.
Because you get a couple of free tickets, I think.
You do.
Yeah.
Who
do you think they'll send?
Geelong. Maybe. I think Paddy Rechko's got a background.
Bit of toe.
Yeah, in athletics.
Yeah.
Would be one.
Yeah.
Do you know what would be really cool? Send Killian Burke, the Irishman, out there and see how he goes.
Is he quick?
No, I've got no idea.
Do you ever go to send Toby Loch Ness Conway?
Not after his surgery.
In his moon boot. Have you ever had a moon boot on?
No, Mick Howley.
Do you know why it's called a moon boot?
Why?
No, I don't know. No. Do you know?
No, no idea. Well,
looks why would they call it the moon?
Well, it looks like a boot that they wore on the moon. That's what the
Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, they weren't wearing those things.
Yeah, well, I think they were not too dissimilar.
What, moon boots?
Yep. Yeah, they weren't wearing Dunlop.
Neil said to Buzz, "You got your moon boots on?" And he said, "No." He goes, "Make sure you got the long stops in."
Mick Howley, just great to be in the big dance once again. Please don't use the term big dance. Shattering for Stewart, but cannot dwell on it. For me, it would be re-sin, but who knows what the Brains Trust will go with. Cats play their best, they win. Yep.
Yes, I agree with it.
At Leroy's, Himgulami, should the Cats play the same cards as we did against the Lions a couple of weeks ago, or should we throw it around a little? Surely Lions will have learnt from the last game and be ready unless we change a thing or two. Stanley Ruck, Blitz back Ruck with Neil Ford Ruck.
Yeah, we spoke about them. I think it's on Brisbane to change things up to try. Geelong are going to wheel out that stuff again, and why wouldn't you? Geelong don't want to get too cute with that. That worked for them. And the only thing I'll say there too, just to add to that, is that I think it has enough – if Brisbane get too cute in trying to avoid those tags or switching it up, it has the ability to upset their apple cart. Mm-hmm. Whereas Geelong have just got to go with what they know and let Brisbane adjust. If Brisbane adjusts, then Geelong adjusts. But I just have a feeling that you know, if you're trying to get McCluggage somewhere where he doesn't really want to be, let's put it this way, if they get McCluggage out of the midfield and he goes up forward or down back, it's a win for the Cats.
Arngold, is there a chance that the podcast could be about footy this week instead of potting Bailey and the coach? Now, Arngold had a crack at us on another tweet as well about how long we spoke about it. Now, he was putting up numbers that weren't actually right. We actually didn't talk about it as long as people claim we did, but that's okay. You're all entitled to your own opinion. I've got the
timings.
Yeah,
it's a democracy. We don't live in North Korea.
No. So we didn't pot them. We spoke about their behaviour that I think majority of the population held.
Everybody was talking about it. We're allowed to talk about it. There's three sets of supporters, Kingy, in the world. For the team, okay? There's one lot of supporters who think that the team and the people within the club can do absolutely no wrong, regardless of what they do. Yep. There's another lot of supporters who are balanced to barrack for their team. They barrack hard, they support their team, but realise that not everything is
hunky-dory.
Yes. And then there's those people who go to the footy who just bag their team all the time. Doesn't matter. He's no good. Get rid of him. Got to get rid of him. He's no good. He's no good. So you've got to have a bit of balance.
We're not sycophants to the club.
No, I'm a Geelong supporter, but I can understand things going with the club that, or within the club that you, as an outsider, can look at and go, I'm not 100% agree with that. Mm. And I thought my opinion was, and I think the opinion of most sane people was that unfortunately Chris Scott and Bailey Smith are way out of line.
They let themselves down.
And just doesn't it doesn't I'm trying to think of the word. It doesn't it's left me, Kingy. The fact that the team that Chris Scott coached won really well on the Friday night, and the fact that Bailey Smith played really well, doesn't absolve them of the fact that they've done wrong.
Yeah.
We don't just laud them because they've played really well. Good on them. Fantastic they had the mental fortitude to be able to see through that and do well.
Yeah.
But it doesn't absolve them from their sins. Vanessa, does it? Have you ever been done for your sins, Kingy? Do you know we used to go when I was young? I don't know if I've told this story, Kingy, but when I was younger, we used to go to St. Mary's Church.
Yep.
And
midnight mass.
No, I did a bit of midnight mass back in the day, but we used to go. Well, Mum and Dad used to make me go to church, and then by the time I was about 16, there was a group of us that were going to church, but we used to go and worship Ronald. So we used to go to the Belmont McDonald's while church was on, and then come back, and Mum would say who was the priest. So what we do is send one person up to see who the priest was to report back, so you could go and tell your folks who the priest was, right?
Was this at St. Mary's or St.
No, Bernard's? this was at St. Bernard's. But I used to, every now and then we used to
which
go,
is now an Aldi.
Yes, it is, absolutely. It used to be the Aldi was St. Bernard's school.
Yeah, and the church were.
Was there. So, but we used to go to St. Mary's every now and then too, and Monsignor Murray.
Yes.
And Monsignor Murray, he used to say, brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of the dads, as he was going through, as he was saying, brothers and sisters in Christ, he goes, this is where his batteries go. I'll never forget that. I had a bit of a chuckle at that one. Old Monsignor Murray's batteries used to go halfway through church.
Vanessa Oakley, how about you stop the lynching of Baz and Chris for this week and show some port instead?
No, we're not lynching. We just spoke about it. We are entitled to our opinion. We thought they did wrong, and hats off to them. They responded and won. But
Hang on, another one. Al, enjoy the pod. Your thoughts/analysis, whether I agree or not. Poor form how you spoke about Baz after King. He said he might have certain struggles that contribute to his reactions as well as some immaturity. He's putting him down in response to the mature option.
It's not putting him down. He's responsible for his actions. I mean, we weren't putting him down. We were just saying that what he did was way outside the bounds of love and war. Like, there was absolutely no need for what he did. And if he has all these struggles, which he says, we don't know that to be fact. But
they are fact.
Well, he's spoken about them. We don't know to the depth of them.
No,
so he's had his struggles. You would have thought he would have some empathy for others in terms of the way he deals with others. I would have thought it would make you more empathetic, not completely apathetic to people. And unfortunately, he was. So, look, we'll move on. But
we can't, because there's a question for Ben. In retrospect, was it a bit harsh you calling Bailey Smith a dickhead on Twitter?
No. Absolutely not.
From the outside, I detect a touch of the media protecting their own interests in the way they've treated the incident.
In that instance, he was a dickhead.
I'll speak to this. So, and this is, and I hope you let me do this on your behalf. Yes, Ben calls the footy for K-Rock. Ben, unlike me, I'm a day-to-day member of the media. Ben is not. Ben is we do the podcast, and Ben joins me at 20 minutes before game time, well, before on air.
Sometimes. The traffic's not too bad.
You were tethered last week, weren't you?
I was tethered. I've been tethered last week. I love being tethered.
And
once got
tethered. And then once you go off air, you go back to your normal job. So Ben's not trying to protect media interests or anything like that. And do you know what? We're a very small player in the media landscape. Our opinion... What weight does it really carry? Not much.
No, and I think we're pretty balanced. Yeah. And we applaud the Cats 8.5 times out of 10. It's been an unbelievable year. But they went off the rails there for a week, and we're allowed to talk about it. And now they're back on the rails, and hopefully we don't see that sort of behaviour again. I mean, I liken, on Friday night in the pregame to Chris Scott having a go at a young AFL staffer to, having a go at the checkout chick for the price of the groceries at Coles.
Yeah.
Anyway, we move on. But you're right, King. I don't have any interest in or any – trying to think of the word.
Your investment's not as great.
No.
As mine is.
No, and I'm working in a completely different industry. So when you're in an industry, you have to perhaps be careful what you say. I don't work in that industry, so I'm happy to say whatever I think. I don't go overboard with it.
No.
But, yeah.
Put it this way. The club haven't picked up the phone to say they haven't liked what we've spoken about. No. And they listen to this podcast.
Yeah. We've got to have our opinions, and I just think that you can't always see your own club just through your absolute rose-coloured glasses. I think that's a noble trait to have, but it's not realistic. And like I said, if you went through our podcast throughout the year, 94% of the time we have been super supportive of everything the Cats have done. And they cocked up there, and we were happy to say they did.
Daz Broncos, the club is just ridiculous. Consistency of excellence in the face of measures to counteract success. They don't get everything right, but long after I'm in dust in the ground, this era will live on as the greatest two decades in the Cats' history. Just remarkable. That's not counting whatever happens next week. As for the game, Tom Atkins needs a statue, a drink, a bar named, or a toilet named after him or something, because he's always there, does his job every single time, and never complains day or night.
Do you think they could have like a... maybe like the Tom Atkins tackling bag. He could patent it and sell it to footy clubs around Australia. I was thinking, can you just talk about that success? If you were born in, let's say you were born in 1980. Yeah, let's say 1985.
Yep.
So when you're old enough to sort of realise, okay, so let's say 1980. Yeah. Okay, 1980.
So I was born in 79.
Yeah. Well, so if you were born then, I'm only born 8 years prior to that. But if you were born then, you know nothing other than really Geelong success.
Yeah, or being competitive.
Yes, yeah, most more often than not.
Probably the only times they weren't overly competitive were probably, 97 they should have probably got to a prelim at least, but, you know, probably the end of the...
2000.
The end of the Ayres era, start of the Bomber era.
A couple of years there.
Yeah, 2000 they played finals, but, like, you know, they got... I think wiped by Hawthorn
in the first
final at Docklands.
Yeah. Missed in 2001.
Yeah, missed in 2002.
And then nearly played, and then played finals 2003. They played finals 2003?
No, I don't think so. 2004 they got back.
2004 they played. That's when Brisbane had to come to Melbourne to play in the prelim.
Correct.
But it's been 89, 92, 94, 95 grand final appearances. Yep. 97 was...
first semi.
Yeah, that was a good season though. They were competitive all year. Yep. 98.
Made finals, I think, but got
and you're saying finals in 2000, missed out in first round.
Yep. And then back in 2004, and since 2004, I've only missed in 6, 15, and 23.
Yeah. So if you're only 26 years of age, you'd be
if you were 7 year old or 6 years old when Geelong won the flag in 2007.
It is unbelievable. It is, particularly with all these equalisation. And I mean, I wonder whether the AFL will move in at some point, because the equalisation has gone out the window. I mean, club players are just picking clubs. Yep. Do you think we will reach the point where clubs are able to move players on in contract and the player has absolutely no say in it?
Correct.
Yeah, I think
that's the US model.
Yeah.
Like, in the baseball this year, a bloke started a game playing for one
and went to
club, and he went to the club they were playing in the middle of the game.
Yep.
Like, we won't get to
that point. But half time. I think we will, because players...
But remember, though, once upon a time, bloke shifted mid-season. Like, I think there's a story. Russell Green might have trained with St Kilda on the Thursday night, and by Saturday he was in a Hawthorn jumper.
Yeah. I think it's inevitable, because the way the landscape and the way the players are fashioning the landscape in terms of just handpicking where they want to go in the middle of the contract, saying, well, I don't want to play anymore, I want to play over there. It's going to happen that and I think they should. I think clubs should be able to say, you know what, you got 2 years left on your deal. Carlton want you. We don't. This trade's working for us. You either go there or bad luck. We're in a national competition. And some will say, oh, you know, you can't send someone from Victoria to WA. Bad luck. If you sign up for it, this is what you sign
if you
up
put,
for.
Once you put yourself in the draft to play AFL, you are, or you sign that first contract, you are open to whatever happens.
And it creates another avenue of publicity for the AFL, which they love.
Yep.
So I think it's absolutely inevitable. And the players have brought it upon themselves earlier than it perhaps otherwise would have, with the way they're handling themselves in terms of player movement.
48 weeks of the year the AFL want.
Yep.
They're happy to concede 4 weeks a year, I reckon.
Spring racing carnival.
Melbourne Cup week.
Yep.
Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
And the 2 weeks of the tennis.
Oh, the tennis.
Yep. Yeah. Are usually the 4 weeks. Because you don't see much footy stuff, and training hasn't really gone back for a lot until...
Yeah, so there's... Yeah, you're probably right.
48 weeks of the year. Well, and the AFL want... They want create, the back page.
Oh, they'd be imagine the frothing will go on that players getting traded by their club to somewhere else.
PFD can take the accolades as Superman, Baz the model, modern social media star, player, and perhaps Brownlow medalist.
Yes.
Gimme Mullen, O'Connor, Atkins, Blitz, closest role players doing their job anytime. Can't thank them enough.
Yes.
So to that point, which two are the most critical unsung heroes next week? I'll go with Atkins and Blitz. If they play well, we are doing well defensively and getting enough attack from them to put us in front.
Yes, I don't disagree. Who's written that?
Daz Broncos.
Oh, yeah. Daz makes a lot of sense. Yeah, look, I don't disagree with that. I think Atkins is you sort of know Atkins is going to play well. It's just the level. Like, you know, will he get at 25 and have 10 tackles, or will he get at 19 and have 8 tackles?
Yeah.
It's going to be a game. I just love the way he started to get off, you know, involved offensively. There was that passage of play when Geelong were right on top in the third quarter, early in the third, and I think the kick came in from Manor to Dangerfield. It wasn't a great kick. Dangerfield, front and square, was able to he couldn't mark it, so he put one hand up and palmed it forward. Geelong swooped. Geelong outnumbered Hawthorn. It was about 3-1. And the one who got his body in front was Atkins.
Yep.
And he was able to handball it to, I reckon it was Close, who got it to Dangerfield to kick the goal.
Yep.
But it was Atkins whose ability to hold himself up in the contest and get there. And then Geelong swarming at ground level. And the pressure in the eight quarters of these three finals has been elite from the Cats. And I know people say the first quarter... they weren't great. I actually thought, and Nieldy was talking about it during the call, I actually wasn't that worried at quarter time. Geelong had three more inside 50s. Mm. They'd had their share of the ball. Had they butchered it going forward? Yes. But you can fix that. It's not like they've been, you know, you have those games, sometimes those quarters when you get blown away and you're thinking, geez, I don't know how we come back from this. Geelong were actually in that first quarter. Their finishing wasn't great. Once they got that aspect right, they were on song.
Cats, 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 Cats. Thank you so much, Benny and Kingy, for all your work on the podcast through the season. As a Cats fan, I look forward to this podcast more than any other each and every week for your honest takes and enjoyable banter about our great club. Appreciate your work so much. Long may it continue. Can't wait for another, use the term, big dance. How lucky are we to support this footy club, Khan the Mighty Cats?
Who's that from?
Cats, 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 Cats.
Well, that's plenty of cats. Yeah, well, thank you very much. So, we appreciate the support of those who listen, and you know, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but it makes it so much more enjoyable when your club is having a season like the Cats are having. So we just got to go and finish the job on Saturday. Now that's the key. And I'm, do you know, Kingy, I am going to be less nervous on
22
Saturday. No, I was quite confident in 22, but I'm going to be less nervous Saturday than I was on Friday night.
Okay.
I just had this feeling Hawthorn were going to make it really gritty for us, and to a degree they did, but Geelong, it was pretty comfortable in the end. I think Geelong's best, and it's a great position to be in, your best, you know your best can win.
Yep.
I don't know that Brisbane can say that.
Howl of 41, quarter time, two defenders injured. It was all doom and gloom in my house. Cats got together in the huddle and got it sorted. Thought, yep, Jack Henry was selfless to carry on, despite not being right. Prelims are tough to win, and beating our rival in one was superb. But the Fryer requires bigger fish this week. With the Lions employing both Fort and Big O, I'd like to see Stanley come in for Stewart. Gives us more flexibility. Merrick goes to Rayner again. Mullen to McCluggage. Close checking for Bradley on Zorko.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boom, boom. Maybe something... nice one, Moz.
Boom, boom.
So maybe something left field. Could the Cats employ Blitz on Andrews? Instrumental versus the Pies. Shag O'Neill isn't in the best of form. Would reinforce a shuffle in the back line. Anyway, another great year for the podcast. Hopefully finishing with a flag and a live on-air tattoo of Benny's Khyber Pass.
Yes, that'd be fantastic. I just wonder about that. We heard that mentioned in the lead-up to the Blitz halves perhaps sort of playing a role on Andrews in the lead-up to the qualifying final. My only reservation with that is that you want Blitzarves probably around the ball. I don't know if you want to – waste him's not the right word, but do you want him playing a role he's very unfamiliar with in the biggest game of the year against arguably the best tall defender in the comp?
Yep.
You got to back Neil in there. Now, Neil's job is going to have to be an interesting one in that, you know, can he drag Andrews away? Can the catch use him enough to force Andrews to second guess? All those sorts of things. But I think Geelong need blitz halves around the ball, whether that's in the ruck, whether that's on the wing, whether that's just being another body in the midfield, rather than have him playing a role. Because then where do you put Neil? You can't have Neil, Cameron, blitz halves, Dangerfield, all in the one forward line.
Gents, thanks for your podcast this year. Always an enjoyable listen. An interesting stat I stumbled across on the AFL website is the Cats' sprinting efforts against the Lions and the Hawks. We smashed them both on sprints, 306 to 242 and 321 versus 282. Doesn't mean other teams can't go with us on the spread and slower opponents get found out. Is that something you've noticed, or it is yet another meaningless football stat? There is something to that stat. Not a huge amount, but Geelong have... I think this is as good a year as Geelong has actually spread from the contest.
Well, we've spoken about it, Kerr's Higher Style, Kingy, throughout the year, that Geelong's aerobic capacity as a team is elite. They've got, you know, probably six or seven elite runners. Dempsey, Myers, Bailey Smith, Blitzarves, Close, probably O'Sullivan.
Did you mention Myers?
Yeah, Myers. So they got six there that would be elite. No, I reckon referenced as elite runners.
Yep.
Now, Holmes is probably not an elite endurance runner, but he's got to the point where he's pretty good. And then you throw in like
Dangerfield,
Cameron.
Dangerfield's
burst. Dangerfield's a burst player, but Cameron's got a big tank up forward.
Neil's got a big tank.
I think O'Connor's probably got a pretty big tank. Yeah. Zach Guthrie, Zach underrated Guthrie's, in his tank. They've got a huge core. And interestingly, I watched through the binoculars, don't ask me why, but I watched in the last 30 seconds of the game on Friday night, I had the binoculars on Bailey Smith.
Yep.
And there was Geelong had the ball at that point. I think the kick came in long to Stengel, who was one-on-one. We're talking the last 10 seconds of the game. I was watching Bailey Smith. He was sprinting like you would not believe to try and get over and be an option at that contest. That was with the game over, done and dusted. His elite running is something to behold. And I don't think Brisbane have anybody really who can tag Holmes and Smith. They're too quick.
Yep.
Dunkley's not that player. He needs to tag a player like Atkins, which he's probably not going to do. Or if conversely, he'd be the perfect player to tag McCluggage.
Yep.
But Geelong don't have that sort of midfielder. So it's, I don't know, it's a really interesting one. But, yeah, the running power is something that's been enormous for the Cats. I don't know what the stats are off my head, but the last quarters, Geelong winning last quarters, is, I reckon, pretty much off the charts this year.
Dudas Maximus, I second all the praise of you both and K-Rock, assuming you've deleted all of Ben's bloopers this year. For next year, could that be released as one collection at the end of the season? Couch it with the legalese and get only registered 18-plus users of your website to accept before download. The meanderings of Ben's gutter mind, no offence intended, is of interest to some. Specific podcast episodes could also be marked explicit. I actually have everything because a raw file is created podcast.
Imagine that, Kingy.
Yeah.
If that got out, we'd be...
It's buried. It's very hard to find.
We'd be going to ground.
It's like the Cosmo Seal section. It's very hard to get to.
Is it?
Yeah. The Ranger. Gentlemen, another outstanding year of calling and podcastery. Hopefully we get a celebratory one next week, and I'd be keen to hear the odd off-season pod end of trade period. A question for Benny. How many refreshments do you think you would need to sit in attendance at the Brownlow?
Yeah, a lot.
Have you ever been to the Brownlow?
No, I won't watch it tonight. No, I've no interest in the Brownlow. I'm look, call me old and crusty. I've said this before. I think the award is done and dusted as a viable best player award in our competition. Yeah. I just don't see it anymore. If you get it 35 times a game, you'll get the votes, which is fine. You've obviously played all right, but
You're overlooking people who are actually playing.
Influencing the contest, who don't touch the ball anywhere near. It's just a midfielder's award. They're the only players who can win it. And I'd just have absolutely no interest. There'd be Valium will be watching the Brownlow tonight to help it sleep.
All right, back to the most important of all topics. I actually feel more nervous than I thought I would with the Lions getting through. Can't logically think of why. Don't think the way they beat the Pies was anything different or better than I expected. Do you have the same nervousness?
I don't. I mean, I do. I'm not just turning up and thinking this is just going to happen, but I think Geelong have been so good that I've got confidence that they can meet the expectations, the mental expectations, which is something that I thought may trigger them. Did that have any impact in the first quarter? Maybe. They were able to overcome it quite quickly. So I think the way Geelong have played, the fashion in which they've done it, the experience they've got, the form that they've got players in, the healthy list, the fact that they've beaten this opponent comfortably 3 weeks ago. Well, they didn't fall over line. They beat them comfortably. 38 points. It should have been about 54 points, I reckon. All those factors give me confidence that Geelong play anywhere near what they have the last two games, they win.
Catters, thank goodness Sean Grigg nicked off and our Ferrari starts on the field and in the centre this final series. Wow, an exceptional person, player and leader. Danger truly deserves to hold the cup up on Saturday afternoon. Thanks for the commentary and laughs this year, legends. We are grateful fans.
Thank you. I heard Rory Sloane, who's obviously good mates with...
Yep, from the Adelaide
Patrick
days.
Dangerfield, yeah, say that he... Which is not breaking any news here, but he said that Dangerfield is desperate to be a premiership captain. So that's just something you don't. We knew that with Joel Selwood. We don't sort of hear it as much linked to Patrick Dangerfield, but it's certainly driving him. And the way he played last Friday night was wow. That was I honestly put my hand up and say I didn't think he had a game like that in him at age 35.
Hi all, what an exciting time to be a Cats fan. That's just from Catters 28. Must be a Marty McKinnon fan. I'm not one for footy tactics, so something I've been wondering is what has the club changed that has made our game style stand up better in finals than it did before 2022.
Well, I think they don't covet the contest and the clearance as much as some teams. I know they won the clearances comfortably on the weekend, which is not a usual occurrence for the Cats. What they do covet is their setup behind the ball and their ability to score off the turnover, so pressure and turnover, and then scoring from that, which has been the key in their heavy scoring at times this year. They've been, I don't know where they finished, Kingy, in terms of points four. Were they at the end of the home and away? Were they ranked one?
No, I think the Crows were.
Right.
Because of the percentage. The Crows' percentage was...
enormous, yeah. It couldn't have been far away, though.
Let me have a look at the ladder.
I'd like to know what the scores were against sort of elite teams.
Oh, no, Geelong actually... Bulldogs actually had the best points for. Adelaide had the best... second best defence, and but gave him a percentage
so
of...
So Geelong were ranked where? Third in...
Second.
Second points for. 20. And what about points against?
Points against... Oh, I'm doing a quick scan here. Fourth or fifth. Looks like fourth.
What? And one thing, who sent that tweet, Inky?
The post on Big Footy.
Yeah.
I've deleted them.
Oh, have you? Well, whoever sent that in, the one thing that they have been able to fix up, particularly in the finals, is the opposition slingshotting from half back and scoring.
Yeah, and that was going to be an issue against Hawthorn. If they turned, and early they were shallow with their entries and turned it over, which Eamon, Impey, Scrimshaw, especially I think Scrimshaw really got his hands on the footy.
Or Sicily was huge early in the first quarter.
Yep. So I think, I think that's one area of the
game. So they've fixed that up, and we spoke about it in the lead up to the qualifying final, stopping the capacity of Wilmot and Zorko to influence the contest from the back half is going to be absolutely critical as well. So they were able to do it 2 weeks ago. I think Close might have played a role on Zorko. You'd expect that to go again. And Wilmot is another one that they need to stop. They can't have those two bursting off half back and setting up midfielders further afield. So... If my money is on stopping McCluggage, somehow stopping... If you can stop Zorko, Wilmot and Andrews from really influencing the game in the back half, that really limits their capacity, I reckon, the Lions.
Catters 07, found out this morning I'm going to the game Saturday. Very excited. We really are blessed as Cats fans for the last 20 years. A little bit of stuff about Friday night. Good, go Cats. Good calling on the weekend. Thanks for the podcast, Benny. Will it be another Scotty tattoo if they win again? You get one on each cheek.
I've got to get the other one yet, King.
Are you going to do that?
What do you need to... Do you ever need the old Duda laser to get that?
I don't know, Ben.
What do you think?
I'm not sure.
Would you get a tattoo, King?
No.
Have you got any tattoos?
No, I don't. No, I've got no interest.
No, either
I am Harvey Norman.
Yeah, I don't know, I should never have said that, really, should I?
But you still haven't done it 3 years on.
No, I haven't, but I'm just hoping that maybe you get a...
There's no statute of limitations to it, it has to be done.
God.
We're going to make this happen. Big week for K-Rock footy.
Yes.
Keep an eye out for our AFLW call on Thursday night.
Against the Hawks?
Yep, against the Hawks. Big game too, because the Cats are now back to 3-3 after being 0-3 and they're inside the eight.
I saw an help the Cats win a howling decision.
Yeah,
and our own, deliberate.
And our own
deliberate goal.
And our own Michaela Bowen kicked the goal.
Oh, it was horrendous, yeah. That decision.
So the Cats... got the 5-point win over the Power. 3-3, Hawks big game.
Yes.
If they can go 4-3, then the fixture opens up for them a bit to maybe give them a chance to actually challenge for top four.
Right.
But if they lose, they're out of the eight, and then you're fighting for a spot inside the eight. But
yeah,
massive game. So that's 6:30. That's on krockfootball.live and the AFL app. Myself, Rocky Cranston, and your mate Birchie.
Yes.
Friday, 1 o'clock.
I love Birchie.
On KROQ 955. And also krockfootball.live, if
yes,
you are not in the listening area. That is the GFNL grand final between St. Joseph's and St. Mary's.
Yes.
Now, something that's
the
never...
Battle of the Catholics.
Something that's never happened before, Benny.
What's that?
Joey's and Geelong have never won a flag in the same year.
Well, Kingy, let's put it this way. I think both of them are on a par. Both of them will be devastated if they don't win.
So 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon, that one, myself, Jason Doherty, Matt Kershaw, Matty Dowling, and Jane Birch and Buzz Conway,
yeah,
on that one. And then Saturday from midday from the MCG, you and me, Neildy.
Yes.
Ian Cover in the pre-game. Going to do the pre-game.
Are we going to have bloopers?
There will be some Gibbo bloopers. There'll be our...
Well, there'd be that blooper where at halftime when you threw me under the bus when we were coming back. No, before the game, I reckon, and you went to the pie warmer and left me to bring it back with nothing to read. I don't know what I said.
I can't remember.
Do you remember that?
Oh, no, I don't remember that. Was that at the MCG?
Yeah.
No, don't remember it.
I looked across and we were back on air and Dave's going 10 seconds and Kingy was nowhere to be seen. I'm thinking... Goodness me, what am I going to say here?
And the Ian Cover, Jason Doherty.
Yes.
So on air from midday for that one.
Big day, Kingy.
So FM.
Snoop Dogg.
955.
The dog.
FM 88 at the G.
Yes.
KROQFootball.live and also the AFL app, so plenty of listening. Obviously, it's been a lot of fun. We will do
We'll do a reflection. More, Kingy.
We'll do one next week.
Yeah.
Look ahead to the Kaji.
Yes.
And but we've also got our crystal ball.
Bailey Smith will win the card,
I would have thought. Well, yes, but a bloke called Atkins is going to put up a fairly decent challenge.
I just think you think Bailey Smith probably wins it. I agree. Bailey Smith, Atkins, and probably Max Holmes, Jeremy Cameron, top four.
Yep. See you Saturday.
Yes, go the Cats.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.